Grasshopper New Media presents.
Ladies and gents, it's the Great Big Small Business Show, starring Becky McCray.
Welcome to the Great Big Small Business Show. I'm Chris Brogan. Becky McCray is out this week. This week's episode, customer service.
Customer service. Boy, we all have some very strong feelings when we think about experiences with customer service. You can think of good experiences. This very morning, I went to the local ice cream store to pick up some iced coffee for my wife and myself, and I hadn't seen the owner in some time, and I'm not particularly a regular there, and the store just opened fairly recently. And as I'm approaching, she comes out the door and says, "Hi, Chris." I say, "Hi, Kim." Now, I'm really good with names, but people aren't, by nature, good with names. The fact that she remembered my name and my daughter's name, and I think she remembered my son's name, that was a great impression. I thought, you know, I love businesses where they treat me like they know me, and that's important. So there, right away, a good customer service experience. But of course, it takes almost no effort to think of several bad customer service experiences. We can think of different places that we've called, and we can think of different times where we've been face-to-face with it. Restaurants. Boy, if I ask you to think of a story of a time you had a bad experience in a restaurant, I bet I don't have to work too hard before you think, I know some bad customer service experiences. Here's 100. Craigslist. Have you heard of it? It's a website called Craigslist.org. And if you're in the U.S., there's usually a city near you that is connected by way of Craigslist. And it's a place that's, actually, you know what it is? It's kind of like a series of different bulletin boards. You can post jobs up there. You can post that you have a fridge that you want to get rid of. You can post that you are looking to meet people to get together to go see snakes on a plane. Craig Newmark, founder of Craigslist, tells people that he's in customer service. Why? Because that's the part of his business that's the most important. Keeping people happy with the service that they get when they use the product is the most important part to his business. And if you think about it, pretty much all of our businesses, that's the most important part. So customer service, of course, is one of the strongest things that we need to focus about. Each of our pieces this week deal with customer service. I'm not going to do a lot of introduction in between all of them this week, because for the most part, I'd be saying, this person now talks about customer service. Now this person does. Steve Brzezinski finishes off the second part of 7 Great Reasons to Have an Advisory Board. And then the rest of our speakers are Heidi Miller, Benjamin Yaskovitz, and welcome Colleen Wainwright to the show. And also a piece by me, Chris Brogan. Becky McCray isn't putting in a piece this week, but we'll be having her back next week. When we start out to build our businesses, we don't often think immediately in the terms of what does our customer want and what should the customer experience. For the most part, our businesses start from the mindset of, I have a great idea for a product or a service, and I think it'll help make me some money for my family. And then we think, okay, now how do we design it, and how do we build it, and how do we get it shipped? Or how do we create a service that other people will want? And customer service is an element of that, and we do think of the customer as somebody we're going to have pay for this product or service, because we want in our minds to think of having several thousand customers buying it. But we don't often start with the mindset right away of, how will I provide good service to my customers? How will I be a servant to the customers, the people who provide custom to my business? It's interesting to go back and think of those words. Service is provided by a servant. You, as a small business owner or manager, are a servant to the people who give you custom, your customers. People who answer the 800 number are called customer service. You are also in the business of providing service to your customer. Now, I might be beating a dead horse here. If you're a small business, you know that you thrive on the relationships that you form. But do your employees know that? Do the people that work there when you're not there know? And do you make sure that they understand this? Do you make sure that they are treated and empowered and they're given all the tools they need to prove that they are there to be a servant to your customer? That's the theme I want you to have in mind as you're paying attention to the remaining pieces in this presentation today. Think about what Colleen Wainwright says. Think about Benjamin Yaskovitz. Think of Heidi Miller. Think of me, Chris Brogan, and think of the words we use and think of how we put into your mind everything we think about with regards to customer service. I also want you to consider giving us some feedback. We're getting a little bit of information here and there from you, but we'd really love to hear from you because we're servants of you. The Great Big Small Business Show is your show. We're here to help put some voice to it, and in fact, you're always invited to do voice back. Send us audio. Send us feedback through comments. Send us emails personally, whatever you want to do. If you want to leave an audio feedback, right now you could use my K7 account, which is 206-666-3729, and that'll actually record a WAV file that we could then play on the show as a feedback number. Or, if you want to have some other kind of method of getting in touch with us, you can send an MP3 file to us via using a service like Odeo. But please, give us feedback and allow us to be better servants of you as our customers. That's part of what the Great Big Small Business Show is about, providing you tools and information and a little bit of entertainment. Please, be in touch. Let's get on with the show. Let's start off with Heidi Miller.
Hi, this is Heidi Miller, shameless self-promoter and corporate spokesperson for hire. Here to talk to you today about customer service. Now, if you've read my Talk It Up weblog, available at talkitup.typepad.com, yeah, that's a shameless self-promotion. But if you've read that, you know that I do go on the occasional customer service rant when I come across customer service that is so atrocious that it needs to be addressed and corrected. And part of this is because, well, yeah, I used to be a motivational speaker and gave seminars on, among other things, excellent customer service. But since we've only got 2 to 3 minutes today, there's just one basic rule that I think will stand you very, very well in customer service, and actually not too badly in life either. And that is Stephen Covey's, seek first to understand, then to be understood. Well, that's just kind of a fancy way of saying listen first. Or, as your mom used to tell you, you've got 2 ears and only 1 mouth, so you need to listen more than you speak. And if you've ever had the experience of calling in to some customer service line where the customer service rep is more interested in spouting company policy at you than at listening to your complaint, frustration, and all the time and energy you've wasted over their product, well, it's not even always about fixing your problem. Hey, sometimes they can't fix your problem. Sometimes you can't fix your customer service issues. But the best you can do is always to send that customer away feeling better than when they came in. And one of the easiest ways to do that is to listen. To listen actively, express sympathy, and think about what it would be like to be in their shoes. Now, this is a lesson I will say I learned the hard way. Yes, I worked for a company that went out of business quite suddenly and left many of my personal customers that I had personally closed sales with high and dry with almost no notification. So they were calling me, having spent, understandably, hundreds of dollars on my say-so and getting, well, basically some of them, nothing in return because the company went out of business too quickly. Let me tell you, I fielded some really, really angry phone calls, and at first, I tried to explain what had happened and tried to be logical, but I quickly realized that no one wanted to hear that. They were angry, they were frustrated, they felt cheated. What they wanted was for someone to listen. So I shut up and listened, and listened. That's all I did. People called, and I listened and said, I know how you feel. If I were in your position, I would probably feel the same way, which was completely true. I listened and listened and listened. Eventually, they would ask me, so what's going on with this? And I would give them any information that I had, and let them know that they could call me anytime, that my phone would still be working, and they could call me anytime. They could even have their lawyers call me anytime if they wanted to sue me. By the end of the phone calls, they were all assuaged. They were disappointed that I couldn't do anything to help, but they felt listened to. And here's a little tidbit. By the end of the phone call, a good 80% of the callers calmed down enough to say, so, wait, what are you doing now? And offered me a job. This has been Heidi Miller, shameless self-promoter and corporate spokesperson for hire. This and other writings are available at talkitup.typepad.com. Back to you, Becky.
Thanks, Heidi. Heidi Miller can be found at HeidiMillerPresents.com, and she has also her own podcast called Diary of a Shameless Self-Promoter. Next up, Steve Rosinski finishes off the 7 reasons why it's great to have an advisory board.
Hi, this is Steve Rosinski from Small Business CEO. You can visit at www.smbceo.com. Welcome to the second part of my podcast, 7 Great Reasons to Have an Advisory Board. Just as a review from what the first 4 last week. Number 1, expertise you can't buy. Number 2, business contacts when you need them. Number 3, the benefits of a board of directors without the hassles. Number 4, simple and inexpensive to set up and operate. And this week we'll cover 5 through 7. Remember, you can get a PDF of this podcast at greatbigsmallbusinessshow.com. Number 5 is grow your business faster. An advisory board is a great way to signal to the world your intent to grow your business. Few actions say as much about your commitment. Only companies that are serious about growth take the time and effort to organize an advisory board. When assembling your board, pick advisors who can help you develop growth strategies. Individuals whose judgment you respect and who have strategic thinking ability are what you need on an advisory board. Make sure they know that you are seeking their help in order to expand and broaden the business's future. Reason number 6, a personal sounding board. Advisory boards can serve as a sounding board for fleshing out new ideas or solving weighty problems. An advisory board member can provide an invaluable service simply by being a willing, informed listener when you need to talk through an idea or a problem. Sometimes simply being able to verbalize an issue to someone you trust and whose judgment you respect is all it takes. Your advisors may well have dealt with the same issues in the past. They may be able to lead you to creative solutions so simple that you've overlooked them. Very likely they've been there and done that. You can gain the benefit of their hard-earned lessons without having to go through the same pain yourself. Or they may be able to firm up that great new idea you've been chewing on for months and then help you turn it into action. Reason number 7, mentoring. Let's face it, the top is a lonely place. Business owners, CEOs, and other executives often have few ways to get support and guidance. Your employees expect you to have all the answers. But to whom do you turn when you need help with those answers? That's where an advisory board can make all the difference. Think of your advisors as mentors. Mentors help coach you to become a more effective leader. They inspire you to greater leadership heights through their own positive examples. They help you get through the tough times. They support and encourage you. Interacting with you, advisors observe your leadership style. They come to see your strengths, perhaps more clearly than you do. They also learn about the kinds of situations that can challenge you, and through coaching can help you overcome them. Advisors can bring out the best in you. The mentoring experience can be extremely rewarding for the mentored as well as for the mentor. It can lead to personal growth and development for both. And that, while it may not be your goal in setting up your advisory board, can be one of its greatest long-term benefits. That's it for this week's edition of the Small Business CEO here on the Great Big Small Business Show. Hope you enjoyed it. Remember, you can get a copy of the 7 Great Reasons to Have an Advisory Board on the Great Big Small Business Show website. And we'll talk to you again next week. Have a prosperous week.
Would you like to associate your company and your brand with progressive new media? Would you like to be known as an innovative, forward-thinking company? Come to PodCamp Boston. Sponsor PodCamp Boston. Learn about podcasting from the experts. Come to podcamp.org for details. Next up, we have Benjamin Yoskovitz. Ben runs a site called I Got News For You, which is a humorous site that allows you to build up phony web newspaper pages for friends and give them a bit of a laugh through the day. Go to igotnewsforyou.com to check it out. Take it away, Ben.
Customer service, the great differentiator. This is where we separate the good companies from the bad. If there's anything I'm passionate about, it's this: great customer service. Selling customer service isn't easy. Saying, we're number one in customer service, in an advertisement isn't going to make you rich. Most of the time, when we see that in advertising, we expect that it's overblown anyway. And it's hard to prove. But you should never doubt the importance of customer service to a small business. Great customer service will guarantee customer loyalty. Big companies often rely on other things to keep people hooked. They might be the only legitimate player in the marketplace, or they've got an amazing brand built on cool, or maybe their pricing is so aggressive it's hard to resist. None of those things build real customer loyalty. And while some big companies can get away with that, I still think it's going to bite them in the rear eventually. If small companies don't provide great customer service, they're finished. And one of the key benefits to great customer service is cultivating customer loyalty. Here are four ways to provide great customer service with an eye to cultivating customer loyalty. 1. Respond quickly. Customer queries or problems should be responded to in less than 3 hours. Longer than that, and you're losing the opportunity to make a great impression. Even if you don't have an answer, respond anyway. Try and start a dialogue with the person as quickly as possible. By doing so, you're making the customer feel important, as if she's the most important client you have. And that's cultivating loyalty. 2. Be as thorough as you can when responding. Creating dialogue is good, but having to go back and forth 50 times isn't. Now the client is getting frustrated and feels like you're wasting her time. Be as thorough as you can when responding to someone's issue. Ask all the questions you need to ask, provide any advice you can immediately. If possible, give them an estimated resolution time, but don't BS this. If you don't know, admit you don't know. If you do know, or you think you know, buffer your time estimate by 25%. When you get the problem resolved faster, you're going to look like a star. Avoid cookie-cutter responses. Personally, I hate automatic email responses that tell me, "We're looking at the issue. We appreciate your business." Bah! That doesn't tell me anything. It's not even a person responding. 3. Be friendly. Duh, Ben. That's obvious. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. It's not always easy putting on a happy face when customers are telling you things aren't working. And there is such a thing as a difficult customer. Great customer service means staying friendly. And building customer loyalty isn't done simply by answering people's questions or solving their problems like a robot. It's about connecting at a more human level, even if it's just a little bit. You probably won't be friends with every client you have. And you probably won't be inviting them to your next family barbecue. Still, it's fairly easy to take a relationship from bland client-vendor to a level where you can express genuine interest in the other person and they reciprocate. Try to get to the point where you genuinely care about someone's response to the question, "How's it going?" And get them to the point where they care as well. If a client is genuinely interested in you, you'll hear it in their voice or you'll see it in their emails, and that's a huge step to building loyalty. 4. Read your clients. Part of providing great customer service is understanding your clients. What does that mean? It means getting a feeling for them, getting a sense of how intimate they want the relationship to be. And yes, I realize it sounds like I'm in a business other than software development, but bear with me. Some customers will operate at a strictly professional level. Others will want to chit-chat. Some will be responsive, others won't. Being able to gauge this quickly and then structuring your communication accordingly is essential. Meet customers at their level of expectation and intimacy, and I guarantee you, you'll have happier customers. Customer loyalty is never to a product itself or the price of a product, but to a company, and more importantly, to the people running that company. Loyal customers stick around. Loyal customers will be more willing to accept your mistakes or faults. Loyal customers will give you referrals, even without asking for them. Loyal customers will accept price hikes. Loyal customers will be more understanding and willing to work with you. Loyal customers break out of the client-vendor mold. Loyal customers will make your business successful. And loyalty is cultivated through great customer service. Thank you for listening today. I hope you enjoyed yourself. I'm Benjamin Yoskovich, co-founder of IGotNewsForYou.com.
Well, thanks, Ben. Next up, brand new contributor, Colleen Wainwright. Colleen runs a site called Communicatrix, and she also runs a design company by the same name, Communicatrix Designs. Here's Colleen's view on customer service.
I was so tempted to use my time here on the Great Big Small Business Show to talk about the hateful customer service of Amazon.com, but figuring that would not be incredibly useful, and also figuring it's better to take the high road, I'm going to spend some time talking about some things I've learned in my small business, which is a graphic design firm called Communicatrix Designs, in serving my customers better. The first thing is I try not to forget about them in between jobs. Nobody wants to just feel like they're a paycheck. But what I try and do is keep track of birthdays, anniversaries, the obvious things, and also when someone might be going to a conference or on a vacation or anything like that. And at some point, send them an email afterwards saying, hey, how did X, Y, or Z go? Or, hey, happy birthday. It's a really small thing. It doesn't take long on either end. And I think it makes the person just feel nice, like they're remembered. And again, there's something more than a paycheck. The second thing is a little lunch buys a lot of goodwill. And I know we all know this, but you know what? We also spend a lot of time in our computers now, and so much work is done virtually, and so much work is done over the phone. And especially for people who freelance and are used to having that freedom, it's so nice sometimes for people who don't have that freedom to get taken out to lunch and actually get out of the physical office that they're in. I know one of my favorite corporate clients just loves to get out of the office. So not a lot, but maybe once or twice a year, I'll just call her up and say, hey, it's been a long time since we've had lunch. You want to go? And I'll tell you what, half the time she winds up picking up the tab because, you know, she knows I'm a one-man shop and she can put it on her expense account if she feels like it. So sometimes I even get a free lunch out of it. And it's pleasant. I get the chance to talk to somebody and learn what they're about. And I found it's really strengthened the bond of my relationship with those particular clients. Finally, the number one thing I think I've learned is that people really want to be heard. Case in point, I just completed doing an ad for a client. I'd done the same ad a year before, was running in a program, and we'd worked it out last year. We knew exactly what the font had to be and what the layout had to be, but at the end of giving me the order, she said, well, if you wanted to try anything creative, that would be okay. And I didn't have to, and she didn't request it, but I thought, you know what? I figured out how much time it would take me, and the price was okay, and I thought, I'm going to throw in a couple extra versions, even though she's probably not going to run them, because it'll make her feel heard. And I did throw those in, and she didn't use them. We went with what we had done the year before, and it's all good, because she really felt heard. She felt like I'd listened to what she said in this, I'd read between the lines, and I'd just given her a little something extra, a little lagniappe, a little cherry on top, as they say in New Orleans, to make her feel good about herself and our business relationship. So, once again, to recap, try not to forget about people in between jobs. Take them out to lunch every once in a while, and maybe you'll even get taken out to lunch. And people want to be heard. We're all human beings, and we all just want that connection. That's me, Colleen Wainwright, the Communicatrix, for the Great Big Small Business Show. Thanks so much for listening. And if you do want to know why Amazon.com's customer service sucks, feel free to email me at communicatrix@gmail.com, and I will give you the scoop.
Thanks very much, Colleen. Well, I guess I'm up next. Here we go. Here's something I have to say about customer service. This is called experience management, taking your customer into the story of your business. Experience management, taking the customer into the story of your business. Hi, this is Chris Brogan from Grasshopper New Media. Let's get right into this. What I'm talking about when I say experience management are all the different elements that make up what your customer or user or client is going to experience when dealing with your business, your product, your service, your brand. The question becomes, how do you craft experiences that are relevant and useful and memorable to the user? If your business is such that you need repeat business, and don't we all want repeat business? Then you've got to become very, very keyed into what it's going to take to drive customers back there again. Let me tell you a personal example. I walked into a very small independent bookstore in the town I moved to fairly recently, and there was a woman behind the desk, and she was just about ready to close, and I said, oh, I'm just looking for this specific book. So she checked it out, and they didn't have it in the store. Now, this makes sense. It's a very small independent bookstore. I put it on order, and she said it would be there in a couple of days, so that was great. I wandered in 3 or 4 days later.
She looked up just briefly from the register and said, "Oh, hi, Chris. Your book's in." She didn't look at any computer or nothing. She knew who I was. Well, let me tell you, not only did I start going back to the store, I started volunteering for there, even though I didn't need the money, just so I could be around those people around the holiday seasons. What great experience management that was. Just the simple act of the store manager remembering my name and treating me very well was good. But that's what I found was the culture inside the staff. We managed the experience of customers coming into that store and tried to treat every single person like they were a book lover like ourselves and friends of ours. We wanted them to know where the cool books were, and we'd be very willing to tell them when to avoid a book. In a tourist town, that's a little trickier, because sometimes you don't have the same customers from time to time. But if you've got a chance that you're going to have repeat customers, then do your best to be level with them and honest with them, and help manage that experience in such a way that it's going to work out for them. Here's an important lesson. Empower the people who are doing customer service for your business. Give them the ability to be knowledgeable and be helpful to your customers. Recently, I had a problem with my ISP for the hosting for all my websites. And when I called them, they had the worst possible answers for me up until I got to their management. I would ask a question and they would answer in the worst possible reflection way to make me feel good. All I was looking for was a bit of comfort. I understood there wasn't much that I could do, but at this point, it was almost like the principle of the matter, and I was just pushing for it. And it just seemed like nobody knew what anyone else was doing, and nothing in the experience worked well for me. That one didn't really resolve very well. I actually got a month's service free for them, but it wasn't worth what the frustrations were. It wasn't worth at all what I went through. Empower the people who are talking to the customers, give them the ability to respond, and that will help that customer experience go better. There we are again, managing the experience. Here's another tip. Give them a little something extra. A year or so ago, my wife wanted to pick up a tutu for my daughter. She was interested in ballet, and she just wanted something fun to play with around the house. So I'm not sure how we landed on the people, but we found a company called Tiny Tutus. And their site is tinytutusplural.zoomshare.com. And why am I giving you that? Because I was so happy. We ordered the tutu for my daughter when it shows up in the mail, but it didn't come just by itself. She included a couple little toys in there, or trinkets. I think it was something from Hello Kitty, and I forget what the other one was. But what a difference. Just that one little thing, managing that change in the experience. I expected a tutu in the mail. We got a tutu plus a little gift or two for my daughter. What a difference. I'm extending the information to you. I'm giving you the opportunity to give a little kid a tutu because they gave me a good customer experience. That's what you want your customers to do for you. You want to give them ways that they feel like they can participate. You want to surprise them. You want to extend the brand in such a way that they feel really good about doing business with you. Do you know why I love L.L. Bean? Because when I went there one time with a broken zipper on a jacket, there was no question. I brought the jacket to the service person, and I said, "Oh, this zipper got broke. I don't know how it happened. I bought the coat about a month ago." "Well, sir, I'm really sorry that happened," they said. "Let's get that replaced for you right away." And a few minutes pass, they do a couple of quick things with very little minimal paperwork, and I have a new jacket. How many people have I told that story to? Hundreds. And you know the problem with word-of-mouth advertising? I think I remember the numbers. For every one time I say something great, there's 10 times that I've griped about somebody's experience. And that's probably true. Make sure your customers have ways to participate in the story of your business. What's the story of L.L. Bean? It's the story of repeatable quality. It's the story of the fact that they will take and stand behind anything that they make, and if you buy it in their store for a little bit more money, you are going to have the opportunity to bring it back if there's a problem. Another way that you can have your customers participate in the experience is you can involve them in it. Cane's Pickles, huge company, Cane's, had a contest evidently, and they introduced a winner at the State Fair Pickles. Why do I love this story? Because it means I'm eating user-generated content. I am the proud, delicious eater of pickles made by somebody at a state fair that Cane's Pickles decided were good enough to put all over the U.S. and maybe the world. That means that they gave their customers the ability to participate in their story of their business. That couple, whose name were John and Jill Hegel or Heglin, they're in there forever. They're part of the story of Cane's. Can you do that with your brand at your store? This is Chris Brogan for Grasshopper New Media. Back to you, Becky. Well, thanks. Me? Am I supposed to say that? This is Chris Brogan. This has been the Great Big Small Business Show, Episode 4. We so much appreciate you coming and taking the time to talk and listen with us. Check out our show notes at greatbigsmallbusinessshow.com or gbsbs.com. Send us comments, please, through the blog and give us some information and feedback on what you like and don't like about the show. You can call our listener line, 206-666-3729. If it's something that we like we can use on the show, we might do that as well. If you want to send email to us, you can send it to Becky at gbsbs.com or Chris at gbsbs.com. And that would be great, too. If you want to contribute, let us know. We always love to have new voices on the Great Big Small Business Show because it's your show about small business. Finally, subscribe for free. Come to the site, and you have a choice of two ways to subscribe. You can push the big orange button, that's an RSS subscription, or if you use the Apple iTunes product, either for your PC or your Macintosh, you can subscribe through iTunes. No, you don't need an iPod to subscribe to a podcast. Come to gbsbs.com and get our show notes. I'm Chris Brogan. See you next time.